You're listening to The Obscure Gentleman, a weekly pop cultural nostalgia podcast. I'm your host, Aaron A. Alvarez. And who are you?
I am Alex Mitchell, your co-host. That's with the mo-host.
So, summer rages on.
It's not as bad as last
time. Oh, man, we in California faced an epic heat wave.
Yeah, and also there was a fire.
120 degrees was the high.
Yeah.
120, so...
It was pretty horrible.
It was bad.
It's not great now, but it's not as bad as that, so yeah, I'm not
going
not
as bad as what's going on in Europe right now, in the UK. Or, I should say, possibly the UK for right now.
well...
Go on the internet, look that up. That's some crazy stuff going on. But we're not covering that today.
Wherever, really, because it's not our thing.
No. I mean, we'll cover, like, British and, like, stuff, but not, like, real-world news, like, financial collapse stuff.
No.
That's too hard-hitting. But yeah, today is different. Today's our 25th episode. We made it.
Well, we've had 25 episodes before.
This no, what are you talking about? That isn't a thing. So, we have something very near and dear to us.
Near and dear to a lot of people.
Yeah, this might be our biggest episode, not in terms of length or anything, but in terms of just like
pop cultural
influence. This is huge. So I guess without further ado, today's episode is about Seinfeld.
You're proposing a snow tire day at Yankee Stadium.
As long as they don't throw them on the field. Help yourself to some shrimp. I brought it up for everybody. Let's see how many I can fit in my mouth.
You know, George, the ocean called. They're running out of shrimp.
Oh, yeah, Riley? Well, the jerk store called. They're running out of you.
What's the difference? You're their all-time bestseller.
Yeah? Well, I had sex with your wife.
His wife is in a coma.
Show started in 89, actually.
Which a lot of people don't know.
That technically the show started in the 80s.
And if you watch that first season, it's very clear.
It does have a lot of the... I want to say the pitfalls of being a sitcom at that time.
Well, because even how it's shot is a little bit... The first season shot a little bit different, because like you're getting these kind of weird close-ups sometimes, and it's...
Yeah,
it's shot a little bit different. And then the second season, it started getting its own identity in terms of, like, the production.
But. Yeah. But, like, it is one of those, like, filmed in front of a live audience TV shows. It's about Jerry Seinfeld, obviously.
Yeah.
Playing Jerry Seinfeld, like, this is one of those times where... I don't know how often this was happening, where it's, like, they're kind of playing, like, an exaggerated version.
Well, I mean, that's like a typical sitcom thing. I mean, Everybody Loves Raymond, King of Queens.
But I mean, in this case, it's interesting because that's Doug Heffernan. Well, that's not Kevin James.
Well, no, but it's that was a thing sitcoms used to do.
Where it's based on
like the George Lopez show. Nowadays, I think we're starting to see a decline in that because. The sitcom, it's not on its way out, but
its form is different. And I'll get into that.
And now we're starting to get more gimmicky type sitcoms.
Yeah.
Less of like the average sort of man, which was like very popular.
Yeah.
You know, like Tim Allen was the whole thing. And laugh tracks are going away, obviously.
Yeah.
Well, CBS is keeping that alive as hard as they can. Because, you know, the bazoopers. But, but yeah, it was his life, kind of. Kind of,
because it's like he's living in upstate New York, kind of, and, you know, he's dealing with, you know, love life, and, you know, I guess the thing that makes it interesting is it really is a show that people can relate to, I think.
It's one of the...
It's weird, because, you know, we're not upstate New Yorkers, but the things that happen in the show, it's like everyone can kind of like...
The human interaction.
Yeah.
Because with, I guess what sets it apart from other sitcoms at the time, because like nowadays it's like it's kind of common to... Well, I wouldn't even say common.
Okay. It's just... I need to get into this right now.
Okay.
There's a trope on TV Tropes, and it's called Seinfeld is unfunny. And that doesn't mean that Seinfeld is a boring show or anything. What it means is that Seinfeld was like the pioneer of like all these like things that, you know, we see in comedies now, but when people go back and watch it and they're unfamiliar with Seinfeld, they don't find it funny or interesting because it's been done before by like every other show after that.
Yeah.
And you can see that a lot with like just pretty much any form of like media that does kind of pioneer itself in that way. But Seinfeld is the unfortunate one because, you know, a lot of people our age kind of don't, some of them don't get it, and I think this is kind of like why.
Well, and so basically the thing you could say is this. Before Seinfeld existed, sitcoms were very by the numbers. It was
it's usually a family.
Here's the problem.
Yeah.
The solution's at the end and a lesson is learned.
Yeah.
That was how it operated. Even Archie Bunker was like you know, you had all the
people,
family was like that.
People,
I Love Lucy's like that.
And people hug and all that. And that was the thing, was that they said, we don't want any hugging
the
on our show.
The ending had a resolution.
Yeah.
That was, and the resolution was in the form of, there was an overall message. This goes back to the golden age of sitcoms in the early days. You know, The Honeymooners, that was there. That was there from the beginning.
Yeah. Andy Griffith,
Happy Days. The Brady Bunch, of course.
Every episode.
That was like the hallmark of like, you're gonna learn a lesson.
Yeah.
Full House. And Seinfeld, though, it was weird because to a lot of people they were confused. It's like, wait a minute, the episode just ends like on a joke, but like something kind of fucked up. Like almost like someone stumbles or fails at something and there's no resolution. It's just like it's the punchline. It ends on basically a punchline that's building throughout the whole entire episode. So this was new, and also what was new was the characters...
They're dicks.
Yes.
I mean...
That's the best way to put
it. Okay, so you have Jerry Seinfeld. You have Elaine Bennis, played by Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Yeah.
You have Jason Alexander playing...
George Costanza, of course.
And then you have Kramer, played by Michael Richards.
Yeah.
All in all, these aren't really people you would think would be friends, because you have the successful, like, woman character who's kind of not successful, and she's got, like... weird, like, relationship issues.
You have a real estate agent
who's insane. Who a man?
Let's backtrack though. When the show started, he was just like a real estate agent who was just kind of like not insane yet. He was kind of just like
he's your average guy, and I mean that.
But he was
even
a little
more
bit arrogant.
Yeah,
he was like an arrogant, and he knew it all.
Even though he clearly didn't, and he. He's kind of like a lovable loser, but he's kind of a jerk.
He's that guy, you know, who everyone has this friend they know who's like kind of a bit of a success.
Yeah.
But they're a little prickish and snobbish and like...
They're a bit too big for their britches.
That's what he was at first. And then he eventually like...
He
lost his goddamn mind.
Yeah.
We have the
guy who's already insane.
The hipster doofus.
Yeah.
As it is referred to.
Yes.
And then we have the guy who's got his shit together... but is, like, morally reprehensible.
Yeah.
But on the outside, he's not morally reprehensible. It's when you start noticing his quirks and, like...
Back together again.
The things that he doesn't like, it's like... Okay.
Let's play.
I'm going in. Cover me, Porpoise.
Yeah.
I'm right with you, Red 3.
Jerry's, like, the nicest of them.
I don't want to be a pirate. Looks like Daddy's bringing home the barbecue.
These donuts are great.
You know what? That's true. I don't feel like Kramer's intentional.
Dodson, we got Dodson here!
You don't know!
You know
what our times are, Daddy!
All we had to do was follow the damn train, DJ!
It was me! All along, Austin!
Yeah. I've always been told it's Seinfeld on speed.
Yeah, it's like a surrealist, fucked up version of Seinfeld where, like, hardcore drug use, rape, and, like, it's the dark side, the underbelly of what Seinfeld could have been.
Yeah. Like, if you did Seinfeld now, I feel like Always Sunny would kind of be...
Yeah.
Maybe not exactly like that, but, like, maybe more on that. Or just Curb Your Enthusiasm, I guess, would be that.
Again, this show was more about... it also... There's heavy emphasis on conversation.
Yeah. And not a lot of shows were kind of, like... willing to do that. Like, you'd usually have, like, plots based on, well, like, events or
because
things.
Here's the thing. You take all the other sitcoms, and it was usually, like, it was dialogue meant to just deliver a joke and then move to the next scene. It was never, like, here are our characters just talking, having, like, a conversation that is not related to what's going on or the scene.
Yeah.
It's Tarantino-esque, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
It's that sort of thing where it's like, let our characters just be characters. Whereas you have All in the Family, it's like, of course, Archie's going to be talking to Meathead about some protest he's going to, and it's like, oh, he tells a joke, back and forth. It's call response. Where this was just like, this seems like conversations you have with your friends.
Yeah. And I think that's why people were able to relate to it more.
Yeah.
Obviously, it seemed to me like, though, that people back in the day weren't really digging this kind of thing.
The first two seasons, yeah. Right? It was
I think it was the Chinese restaurant episode.
Yeah.
That it's essentially a bottle episode. It takes place in them in one Chinese restaurant trying to get a seat.
And everyone's dealt with that where they're waiting too long and, like, again,
you're debating, should I go? Because, you know.
And that's the thing. So you have Seinfeld, which takes very human situations that happen, and they're just minute ones no one really ever thinks about.
But they kind of amp them up a bit and make them, like,
and they highlight them. Whereas every other sitcom, it was just like,
that would just be like a scene.
That would be one scene, but the rest of the episode is about, like, someone does something bad, and then we have to learn that, like, oh no, look, they learned from their mistake.
Yeah.
Whereas this is like, again, it's like, everyone's had that where, like, they're waiting for their table, and it's like, this is taking so long.
If I recall correctly, they're actually trying to eat before they go to a movie.
Yes, they are.
And I've had that exact fucking situation happen.
I think we've all had that situation.
Because I had to wait, like, an hour for, like, Red Robin when Thor's starting in, like, an hour and 20.
And then it's like...
And we walked there. So we didn't, like... So we have to, like, eat... You know, do the madcap rush over. And so I get that. It's very relatable.
People deal with a lot. And so Seinfeld was good at that. It was good at taking these small things no one really ever thinks about and making a huge thing out of them, whether it's going to a funeral and not the funeral being the focus, but the thoughts you have in your head.
Yeah.
Being on a train and, like, hating everyone around you, your job, just random little tiny things. And just, like you said, exaggerating them and really highlighting them.
Yeah, I think that's what makes it funny. Because, you know, if I tell you a story about me almost missing Thor and because of the Red Robin, that's not funny.
Yeah.
But them constantly getting shafted by Lopan because, you know, I believe that's him, by the way.
Yeah,
it is. Okay, so, yeah. Like, and that's funny because it's like, okay, like, we're almost there, but it's like, you know, and then I believe they leave at the end, right?
And then they get called.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's funny because that's just like how life would be. You
getting
know?
Lost in a parking structure.
That was the first episode of Seinfeld that I ever saw.
Oh.
So that one's actually very popular with, like, people who want to kind of see.
It's a good entry episode.
Yeah, and it's a good episode to see would my friend like Seinfeld?
Yeah.
And a lot of people like that episode. And I think that won them awards.
I don't even remember the first episode I saw because Seinfeld was one of the shows that was always on when I was little. Like,
yeah.
So, like, my memories for me go back to being 3 years old for some reason. That's my limit. And I remember, like people in the house just watching it. And I watched it, too.
Yeah.
So, I kind of grew up with the show. So, first episode, hell, I don't even know. So, to me, yeah, the entry level, there's so many entry level episodes. Like, so when you look at compilations of, like, what's a good episode to get into Seinfeld?
There's
like,
so many.
The lists are just like, yeah. And my advice is just like, just watch any episode.
Yeah. And the cool thing is, like, I don't really think they air them in order.
They don't. They totally don't.
So like, you're watching certain episodes and you're thinking, like, oh, this is like a season two. And it's like, no, it's like season
six. It's like, Elaine has giant frizzy hair. Oh,
yeah.
Now Elaine has, like, straight hair.
Yeah.
And Jerry has kind of a mullet.
The mullet episodes are awesome.
But yeah, I mean...
It's just a solid show, I think, in terms of presentation. It looks nice. There's nothing offensive about it, I think, in terms of...
No.
Like, just what it looks like. I think the humor is best when it's not just Jerry doing his stand-up in his show, which I know a lot of... And not to brag on his stand-up, I don't have any issues with it, but I don't like that in sitcoms when it's spearheaded by, obviously, a stand-up comedian, and they're doing bits from their act in the show. I don't like that. Well,
I'm not a fan of Seinfeld stand-up. I've never been. But
did you see that that documentary?
Yeah, of course I saw it.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't like it. Jerry Seinfeld, I don't like him.
It's bizarre because it's like I know tons of people who say the same thing that they love this show,
but I don't.
They can't watch.
I don't care. I don't care for him. Like, but I love his character.
Yeah.
And that's it's weird. The show, the beauty of it, even though it's called Seinfeld, it's really a show about all of them.
Yeah.
Like it's a very good ensemble sort of cast, and on top of that.
The side characters also are
top-notch. Oh no, there's so many great like side characters that are memorable. But the thing is, the show was built in a way where it's supposed to highlight all four of the characters.
Yeah.
And there's a anecdote about that where Jason Alexander wasn't in. There's only one episode that he's not in. Only one episode. I forget which one it is, but there's one episode, and he told Larry David, this was like in the first season. He says, "If you're not gonna use me, then I don't need to be here. I don't need to be part of the show." So from then on, Larry David made it where the show wasn't just about here's the lead character.
Yeah.
He made it where it's like, I'm going to always give my characters something to do. And by doing that, you had this beautiful effect of every character has their own story in the beginning of the episode. And at the end, it all comes together.
And I love that about the shows that they're... It's weird because they don't even really start off similar, but somehow they all end up like intersecting or something like that, and it's crazy.
It ends in a glorious train wreck.
Yeah,
yeah,
and I love that.
I mean, when you think about like Kramer and Jerry's stories are completely separate, and at the end they're completely tied together.
Yeah,
like when and then the ball falls out. Other sitcoms starring a comedian don't necessarily do that. It's like, well, no, here's our main character and our side characters or our other leads. You know, they get something to do, but it's never anything that is tied into the end.
Yeah.
It's just always like...
I like King of Queens, but to me that's a very by-the-book sitcom.
It's like The Honeymooners, basically.
Yeah. And that has George's dad also in it.
Yes. Yeah. And, yeah, so he... so I can Jerry tell Stiller was in that.
I'm amazed that guy's not dead yet. I shouldn't have said that.
Now it's going to happen. Yeah. You see what you've done. Aside from the main four,
the side characters.
The recurring characters.
Okay, let's name off a few. Okay, like I said, George's parents.
There's also Jerry's parents, too.
Yeah.
And Jerry's proto-father.
That one time they
actually... Well, son.
Yeah. It's weird. They never refilmed that, but I know with George's first dad...
Yeah.
They refilmed his scene.
And the mentions of George's brother.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's weird.
There's theories that the reason George's parents went fucking insane is through grief because the brother died. There's just theories where it's like there's four seats at the table. There's always an empty plate.
Yeah.
Like, there's crazy.
Is that really a thing?
That's a theory people have. That's weird. George's brother passed away.
And mourning.
That's the point where George went crazy is when his brother died.
Yeah.
Just a fan theory, which is kind of hilarious. I'd like to...
See, I didn't even know that. Yeah. That's crazy. So
the Costanzas...
They're top tier characters.
They're the greatest parents in television history, I think.
Yeah. I do enjoy Jerry's parents, but they're more low-key. They're like the parents you have.
Okay. Either your parents are like that...
Yeah.
Where they're like Jerry's parents, where it's like, yeah, they're a little annoying at times, but they're relatively normal.
Yeah, but I love them. They're my parents,
and they sometimes say really stupid stuff. And
yeah,
they get into these weird arguments. Or your parents are more like the Costanzas, where there's lots of yelling and fighting.
Yeah,
you love each other, but it's just like everyone just like
it's a struggle. Each other's throats. Yeah.
So it's the two classic archetypes of parents. One which has always been in sitcoms. One which was never shown. The closest, of course, is, again, going back to Archie Bunker, which you kind of got a sense of that, but, like, the mom was really nice. Edith was really nice. But now we got two angry parents and a son who they just all yell at each other.
Yeah, and I love these characters so much.
And you got Elaine's dad who's shown once.
Okay, so there's a reason for that. Apparently he stole, like, a knife from catering, and he's like, I'm going to keep this. And apparently, like... he was like very threatening. Like his presence is fucking
the actor's name, Tierney.
Wasn't he in Scarface?
No.
He was in something else.
He's in Reservoir Dogs.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so he stole a knife?
Yeah. And a lot of people were like scared by that. Yeah, look the story up.
That's
I don't have all the details of that, but yeah. Apparently he was so threatening on set in terms of just his presence. I think they said they never called him back.
Wow. Well,
that's why.
I mean, he's scary in general, but
yeah, I think yeah, I have more info.
But then
Uncle Leo.
Oh yeah, so you have basically a lot of extended family members become characters, but then you have like the recurrings, like you have Kramer's lawyer, of course,
Jackie Childs.
Yes, you have Jackie.
Elaine's boss.
You have the bosses are also so you got Cougar.
Yes.
You got Mr. Wick.
Yes.
Who else do you have?
The guy who owns the Yankees, obviously.
Yeah. Yes. There is a whole slew of bosses that, yeah, they become characters. There's also Banya, which is another comedian.
Yeah. That's Jerry's friend, I would say, but Jerry hates him.
And then, of course, there's the villain of the show,
Newman. Okay. Newman is one of the best, like, sitcom villains. And I mean that in, like, in a way where sitcom villain is described as someone that is just a normal person and they don't really do anything malevolent, but because like they're the opposite, like I guess the heel to like the main character, that they have like all these negative traits thrown on them that no one else really like picks up on except for like the main core character.
What I think is interesting though about Newman and the dynamic is that him and Jerry hate each other.
Yeah.
Most sitcoms would have that. The whole cast hates that guy.
Yeah.
Well, in this situation, him and Kramer are like almost best friends.
Yeah.
Like they make sausage together.
Yeah. He's into Elaine, right?
Yeah, at times.
Yeah, and then she finds him like weird, but she doesn't outright despise the guy the way Jerry does.
Yeah. And then George, it feels like he has almost no relationship with him at all.
Yeah. I think he's interacted with him a few times.
So it's interesting how they did that, where they could have made him this like, there's the guy everyone hates. Instead, it's like, okay, Jerry, it's like real life where a friend has a friend you don't like, and you're like, oh god, it's that person.
Yeah.
And
by all accounts, Newman has like friends and people that find him like a likable guy.
And that's the thing about this show. Also, the characters have lives outside of each other.
Yeah.
Kramer has this friend we never see, but he always talks about, Bob Sacamano.
Yeah.
We're always hearing about him. And it's like, who the fuck is this dude? And the show never showed him.
Yeah.
And
but he's always doing these weird things. He's like, we know more about Bob Sacamano than we do about, you know, Elaine's mom, which is like a weird thing.
And it is amazing that, in a way, this friend who never gets screen time is a character himself, because Kramer's always going on crazy adventures with Bob Sacamano. Yeah.
And you never see them.
We never see him.
But you realize that they must be true, because Kramer has said some pretty crazy
and
shit.
And then Elaine talks about her friends, which we never see. She talks about other friends. Like, she's always going to, like, there's episodes where, like, the baby episode, or...
You gotta see the baby!
Or, have you seen my fiancé? Like, damn. She's always going to these parties or dinners of friends.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh shit, Elaine has other friends, but that's not important. We don't need to know about that. Same thing with Jerry. Like, Jerry has all these acquaintances and stuff, and it's like, okay, that's weird.
Yeah.
I
think the interesting thing about Jerry and George is that they have a lot of, like, relationships.
Yes, they do.
Like, and a lot of people say, like, oh, George is, like, dateless, he's, like, a loser. He gets a lot of, like, action, doesn't he? Like, in turn...
Don't say action. Are you a guy from the 70s? Jesus.
But I mean, like...
Yeah.
There's the infamous... The coffee situation where the girl invites him in for coffee and he says, nah, I don't drink coffee at night.
I love how this show handles relationships, because it doesn't handle them seriously. Like, you know, with friends, it's like, will they, won't they, and all this stuff like that. This show basically said, we're going to use relationships in this show, but as a point of humor only.
Yeah.
They danced around Jerry and Elaine a little bit at first.
Yeah.
Only a little bit, but then they revisited by just saying, like, what if they have sex?
Yeah.
That's it. That's as far as it went. But yeah, other than that, and it to me, it was great. And their relationships, it's fun to see how they failed. And it was always fun to see how they blew up in their faces. Or, like, the weird, like, things they would do, or the pet peeves they had. Because it was always something like that. That, like, the man hands, or the whole, the Two-Face. She's a Two-Face.
Yeah.
Like, I get this.
She walks around naked in my house.
Yeah, and then, like, again, the hello! It's like the stomach looks like.
Yeah.
Or drugging a woman because you want to play with her toys. Very fucking weird. Yeah, but this created a lot of, in real life, I kind of want to say a lot of people became more anal towards dating because of this.
Because people back then, like, because what I'm reading is that people just say, oh, you know, you're pretty cool, let's go get dinner or something. Dating seemed simpler back then. I remember some old man said, well,
I just said you're pretty and I want to take you out for a date. And we've been married for 82 years.
And it's like, okay, cool.
I'm pretty sure that's from Harry and Sally when they're interviewing the old people. Because, yeah, it did seem like that.
Yeah. But now it's like people won't date because, you know, he lives, you know, 5 miles
here's
away.
Here's what happened. This show basically took the Woody Allen approach of, like, being neurotic and having, like, these little quirks that you're, like, that you obsess over.
Yeah.
And it was just like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's just blow that up to the point where, again, these aren't good people. They're kind of fucked up. So, like breaking up with a girl because, like, you don't know her name, what her real name is, the whole... Mulva!
Mulva.
Dolores. Yeah, and it's... It has created many terms and sayings that we now people use, like, in everyday life, like close talker. Is it close talker?
Yeah. And high talker.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're at that point then. I have a list of...
It's clear we love the show.
Yeah.
Other
people do too.
We could go on forever about the characters, like the soup Nazi. Like, again, we love the show. There's so many side characters we can go into, but yeah, Seinfeldisms is something that's really important.
So... I guess, like, Shakespeare before them, they were so influential that, like, the phrases and things and situations they've been in have kind of become mimetic in their own right, and people will work these into their own lexicon.
It's influenced modern language and social behavior.
Yeah.
Which is a weird thing to say, but it kind of has.
So I'm just going to name a few here. The anti-dentite, which is someone who discriminates against dentists. I do have a weird, like, thing about Dennis. I don't know why. I just don't like him. Apparently, baby. A lot of people added that at the end of their little... Yeah. A bad breaker-upper. So, yeah. Close talker, which we mentioned already.
Yes.
Conjugal visit sex, apparently, is a thing that...
Did this popularize that?
Yeah, apparently.
Like, the knowledge of that being a thing?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Double dipping. That I love that became.
I feel that, like, that, like, is something that to this day, like,
everyone's conscious about,
but they don't even know what it's from.
Yeah,
if people just say, like, did you just double dip?
Yeah,
like, what? Like, you know, it's like you just double dipped the chip.
Yeah,
and, like, that situation happened.
That's real.
Here's the thing. It of course it happened before, but there wasn't a word for it. It was just like someone being like, hey, did you bite that chip? But now it's like, you double dip.
Yeah. Festivus.
That's a thing now.
Yeah, people celebrate that, which is, I guess, if they're not too big on Christmas, they kind of use this as a standard.
In 100 years, it'll just be a real holiday. No one will know where it came from.
Yeah. Saying get out. You know, get out.
Yes.
A lame thing. Giddy up.
Yes, of course.
The high talker, which we mentioned.
Yeah.
Someone who has a very high-pitched voice. A hipster doofus.
That's the thing?
Yeah. People say that, actually.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah.
That's
been, like, the one thing that I feel like I've also used and all that. That's, like, whenever you're talking about something, well, like, oh, I thought, you know, he was gay. And then you say not that there's anything wrong.
If you're talking about a sensitive issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sort of the go-to phrase. Yeah, there are so many...
Shrinkage?
Okay. That is definitely, this definitely influenced that. Like, I was in the pool,
The Kevorka.
Oh my god. It's so weird thinking about how many things were influenced by this show.
Yeah.
And the list probably goes on and on and on and on.
Apparently makeup sex is a thing, man hands.
Stopping short.
Yes, stopping short.
Serenity
Now.
Yes. Which that's a thing people will say.
Master your own domain.
Wow. Jesus. It is
Spongeworthy.
Oh, I don't know if people say that anymore. Those things are, like, not...
But I think that people that like the show will use that. The Jerk Store.
People still to this day say No Soup for You. Like...
Yeah.
When they're talking about soup. Or The Big Salad.
The Big Salad. Yeah, I mean... Yeah, The Urban Sombrero. Well, these aren't really...
The Jerk Store, though, yeah, that's a...
Yada, yada, yada. And I think that's one of the ones that...
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of...
That's one that... I have heard many times. I think that's, I've heard that more times than any of the other things.
Yeah.
Is when, you know, yada, 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 and it's like, you're quoting Seinfeld, but it's like, it's become...
But you don't know that
because it's just become part of, you know, our lexicon, like you were saying.
Yeah.
And it's pretty amazing. It's not odd humor,
it just seems normal at this point to me.
Yeah, I mean... Going back to that time, it must have been weird.
Yeah.
Because you're just so used to, like, set up punchline, set up punchline, set up punchline, or character says a kooky phrase. This show did have its, like...
Its quirks.
Although, like, the show started to become more generic when Larry David left the show.
I still think those episodes are solid.
They're still solid, but you could sort of tell, like... They're highlighting certain things a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It started to become a little bit more, like, out there. Like, the whole thing with the keychain under the pavement and the Frogger episode.
I think that's amazing.
Oh, no! Those are amazing. I like them, but it's like...
I think Seinfeld
started to become a little more weird.
It became cartoonier. And the characters became more exaggerated versions of themselves.
Yeah.
But, I mean... Not for any worse or wear, I think.
Oh, no, no.
There's a change.
There's definite change. And you could tell Larry David's writing wasn't a thing anymore with it. Like, because Larry David's writing he is probably one of the best comedic writers around. Yeah. He finds a way to touch human experience that no other comedic writer really can when it comes to, like, I guess, sitcoms. Even looking at Curb Your Enthusiasm, like... So many just, like, the smallest observations, like, the going to Curb. There's an episode where he's in a movie theater and this girl thinks he has a boner. But it's not. It's the fold in the pants when...
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, dude, we've all experienced that. Yeah, when it's like... And you look down, you're like, it looks like I got a boner.
Yeah.
But it's like, if someone else sees you, you're like, no, it's not. It's not.
Very real humor.
Which obviously Seinfeld couldn't have covered because it was on, like, you know, network television.
Yeah, talking about erections and shit wasn't cool.
Yeah, the closest thing, again, was that whole, was the bet episode.
Yeah, which they again, they had to make up these phrases like Queen of the Castle, Master of Your Domain.
They dance around.
Lord of the Land, because you had to, you know, say, did you jerk off?
Yeah. So, like, it's, and also with the show, it's like, I'm just trying to think of, serious moments, there really were none. You have George's wife die.
Because she licked old envelopes.
But the funny thing is, it's handled comedically.
Yeah.
It's not, there's no moment of like George isn't even fucking sad.
Well, you know, he's happy because he didn't want to marry her.
So it's weird because any other show that's a comedy, a sitcom, there would be that like, oh, he's in grief now. This is the time to be sad. This show, it's like, nope. And then you get to the point where it's even at the burial, at the funeral and everything, and they're at the grave.
He's smiling.
Well, and on top of that, when Jerry's with them, he fucking quotes Star Trek.
Yeah.
He quotes Wrath of Khan. I mean, no other show really does. It's Always Sunny. And then, you know, you have, like, Arrested Development, and it's like, they followed in that footsteps. So it was like, be absurd. Like,
yeah. Community, I would say, kind of, too.
But then again, it's like, there's those serious moments where it's like, the hugging moments where, like, oh, we're still friends, we're buddies, we're pals, amigos, and all that stuff. But, this, nope, never did that. There's never once where it's like, aren't you guys glad we're friends?
They hug one time in the show, and that's because, Elaine comes back from vacation. And they were happy to see her. And
yeah,
that was it.
But it's not like something where
I know.
It's not like a huge thing where it's like, oh, it's so good, we're friends. And this leads to the sort of the end of this the show, which was polarizing for a lot of people. Because it was essentially a clip show. But the ending, the last scene, has them in jail. They're sitting in a jail cell, having the conversation in the first episode about buttons. Yeah. And they even say, like, did we already have this conversation? And to me, that's important because the show, through how many years did this show run?
Almost 10, I think, right?
Like 9 years, right?
Yeah.
This show ends with the characters learning nothing, not gaining anything. And to bolster that point, it's like, look, they're saying the same thing they said in the beginning.
Yeah.
There's nothing left to say. And yeah, the clip show thing was kind of weird. It could have been better.
Yeah, but I mean, I think a lot of people have... I know some people have issue with it because they don't like that they ended up in jail.
See, that to
me... I don't know. I mean, it seemed like they could get out. I mean,
they'd be out by now.
Yeah.
I mean, technically, there's a reunion on Curb, but it was like a in-universe...
Yeah.
It's hard to... You have to watch Curb. Everyone watch Curb. If you haven't seen it and you like Seinfeld, watch Curb. But yeah, I mean... I love this show.
I do too.
I mean, there is never an episode where I'm like, I can't watch this. It's like, no matter what, I watch it. Like, if it's on or something, it's a good background show to have on.
Mm-hmm.
Can you think of any episode that you outright just dislike? Because I can't.
Just one, and it's the one where Jerry's, like, apartment, like, mate or whatever you'd call him, like, another tenant, the guy gets in a coma and his wife is all in jail.
The tennis episode? The Milos?
I think. Yeah, I don't know.
Wait, is it the Milos episode?
I don't think so.
Is that where he's kissing the Russian girl on top of the guy in the coma?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm okay.
That episode just didn't do anything for me, but I mean, beyond that, I can't
isn't
really...
It's Nelson. Isn't it that
episode? I think so, yeah.
Yeah, what's wrong with that episode?
I don't know, it just didn't... But, I mean, out of that many episodes, that's the only one I dislike. It's like, that's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, it has so much replay value, which is really rare in sitcoms.
Because they're not tied together by continuity, I think, really.
Yeah.
Every now and then, they are, but...
This show did do... Callbacks were, like, a highlight of the show.
But the thing is, it's that they weren't, like, intrusive. Like, you weren't going to understand the entire episode because of that. Yeah, like, that was good.
What's interesting is, like, there... Okay, so we're saying that there's no real progression of the characters, but there's a progression of the shit they do in life. So, like, from job to job to job.
Yeah.
And their status. That shifts and changes a lot. But in terms of, like, the characters, basically they just go on this... ride of becoming more, like, horrible.
Yeah.
It becomes just worse.
It's regression, really.
Yeah. So, like, again, like we said in the beginning, George started out sort of just being that arrogant, sort of, like, you know, well-to-do guy.
Then he becomes, like, this sad sack son of a bitch.
And then he just becomes just, like, a fucking lunatic.
Yeah.
Like, he screams a lot, and he's crazy. Elaine, on the other hand, becomes sort of this... She's like a progressive female in the beginning. And then she becomes kind of like cold and vindictive.
Yeah.
And heartless. Jerry, he stays Kramer might be the most consistent.
Yeah.
Jerry, though, becomes more and more mean-spirited.
Yeah.
Like, again, on the outside, completely normal guy. But then his interactions with other people, it's like, he's clearly fucked up. Kramer, on the other hand, I feel like there was really zero escalation for him. He just started, like, getting in crazier schemes. But other than that, yeah, he remained...
I think with Kramer, he was just, Kessler, as he was once known as.
Yes. Yes.
I think with him, it's just, like, he's kind of an odd dude, and then later on, like, the eccentricities and all that just get bumped up way more, and you find out, oh, this guy's actually kind of a fucking weirdo.
I mean, yeah, that's true. But I mean, I never had a problem with any of that.
No,
like, and that's the beauty of the show, is that they found a way to not Flandernize the characters.
Yeah.
There's no, like, overemphasis on one key feature of the character at all. Which is pretty great. I mean, they're not, like, completely well-rounded or anything. But
no.
At the same time, it's like, it takes a lot of the sitcom tropes and just throws them out the window and just says, here are these people who act like people you might actually know. It's like, other sitcoms...
Hopefully you don't.
Other sitcoms is who you want to be. Seinfeld is who you probably are.
Yeah.
But do not want to admit.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of it. So, any other crazy things?
Well, I think for Seinfeld, the ratings were fucking massive.
Yeah, after third season, is that when they started to explode?
And then, like, I think they tried to set it up to where, and I'm trying to remember the highest rating Seinfeld, but it was, like, one of the ones, like, right after, like, the Super Bowl, I think.
Yeah.
It was, like, one of the crazy ones. And then I know the finale drew, like, I think, like, crazy amount of people.
Oh, yeah.
So, it's a show that you could tell was... not just one of those, oh, like, it wasn't one of those shows like Community where it was like, oh, you know, me and my friends, we watched the show,
yeah,
you heard of it. No, Seinfeld was popular.
It was a cultural phenomenon.
Yeah, that and Friends, I think, which, again, another
because,
show.
And also, if you're listening to this, what you need to understand is, this was a time before TiVo. I'm not mentioning TiVo. I don't think it's a thing anymore.
I don't think it is.
This was a time before you could...
DVR all your shit and watch it later.
And watch it later. And before you could stream stuff. So, there was this ritual people used to do where they would set time aside for... okay, we're going to watch this show. Or we're going to tape it. That's the other alternative you had. And so, Seinfeld, when it came on, the idea was, all right, we're off of work. We're, you know... let's all hang out. Let's watch Seinfeld. Yeah. That's what we're going to do. Nowadays, it's like, hey, I got a DVR, or it's on Netflix, or it's on Hulu. Let's just stream it. And that's why, like, ratings will probably never be that big ever again.
No.
Simply for the fact that...
Unless it's, like football or sports or whatever. That's the only...
But now, like, for a sitcom or something like that, yeah, you have your Big Bang Theory, which, like, garners a lot of ratings, but it'll be nowhere close to this level because... the TV isn't communal anymore. Now it's watch whenever you want. You're in control now.
I mean, you have people who have, you know, get-togethers.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Shit.
That happens.
The only thing that kind of reminds you of that is, like, Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Where I know people want to watch it live because, you know, they don't want to get spoiled later on. That's the only show I can really think of.
That happens, and I notice it happens with more genre shows or niche shows.
Yeah.
But where
Breaking Bad, also.
Yeah. But then again, it's like...
you could still... oh, I'll just avoid the internet for a day.
Well, then also
watch
you have
later.
Those potential people who, if streaming and on-demand stuff wasn't around, you do have those people who... that loss of people who would have seen it live.
Yeah.
Now, because there's no rush to see it live anymore.
No.
And so, Seinfeld was... yeah, it was at that time when it was like... like, after a hard day's work, you go and you watch it with friends or by yourself or whatever... I mean, so many other sitcoms like that, like Friends, Frasier, it's like, they all benefited from that. And so, would Seinfeld be the ratings crazy, like, if it was still around today? Probably not.
I don't think so. I don't even know if it'd be as successful.
I think it would work well in the Netflix format.
Yeah.
Maybe? See, again, we're playing the what-if game.
Yeah.
And that's what people need to realize about the show. It's like, it was colossal. Like, bars were hosting, like, for the series finale, bars were hosting events where, you know, like, we're going to all drink and watch it together.
Yeah.
Like, this was, like, a cultural thing where everyone was just like, we have to see the end of Seinfeld. It was so big that other sitcoms referenced it.
Yeah.
Dharma and Greg. Yeah. Do you remember Dharma and Greg?
I try not to.
I watched it for some... I watched all the reruns when it was on UPN for some reason. I don't know why. But in... when Seinfeld's finale was airing, the episode of Dharma and Greg that was on the same day, there is this... the whole entire episode is about Greg... he's trying to do something, but throughout the entire episode, he keeps running into the Seinfeld finale. Like he goes to a bar and he's like, oh, that Kramer. And it's like, what in the fuck?
It's so... That is a weird thing. I know, like, shows reference Game of Thrones a lot now, but it's not really on the same level of, like, oh, they say, oh, the dragons and shit. Like, this is them actually referencing an actual point in the show that is happening, like, at that moment in time.
Because you're like, oh, are you going to go watch the Seinfeld finale? That was happening in the show.
That's fucking weird.
And it was so bizarre to me. I'm like, this is fucking nuts. Like,
that's like a meta level that we weren't really reaching yet.
Meta really wasn't a thing yet. But Chuck Lorre, as much as I hate the dude, he kind of likes that shit.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Darman and Greg were in 2.5 Men. Like, the actual characters.
That's weird.
Yeah, they actually showed up. And then, like, Charlie Sheen gets killed in the final episode. Charlie Sheen gets nothing makes sense. But yeah, I don't know. The finale, how old were we? We'd been like, what, like nine?
9 or 10, I think.
Yeah, like, I remember there were TV guides with the characters. It was all over TV, like, the finale, it's ending. And, like, I had a conversation with my fourth grade teacher about it.
That's bizarre.
Because it was like, none of the other kids really watched it like I did.
Yeah.
But my fourth grade teacher, yeah, he had no problem talking about it. But yeah, so moving on from, I guess, so that's, is that pretty much all you got in terms of, okay. So moving on now to, what does the internet think about it? I mean, there's not, I grabbed
some. I didn't even know you were going to give comments.
Yeah, I grabbed some stuff. So first, a word from our leader. Our great, glorious leader, El Jefe, Mero. Here's what he has to say. To me, this Seinfeld is the alpha and omega of comedy. This is the best representation of asshole friends who hate themselves and each other. The jokes are relatable to the common person, yet done with a brilliant light touch. While the show was a basic comedy, it took it to the next level with overarching comedic plots that made me blurt laugh with callbacks. Episodes started out with separate characters doing their own thing that eventually seamlessly dovetailed into a beautiful masterpiece. Seinfeld is one of the reasons I do a comic that I like to try and make people laugh. This will always be my favorite show of all time because it makes me laugh with pure, unironic enjoyment. Jerry Seinfeld and Larry David created this thing that is perfect to me in every way.
Wow.
I would agree.
I wasn't expecting that, actually.
I want to call it my favorite show of all time.
I don't know if I want to do that, but I would put it at least in my top five
of shows. I don't know what my number one favorite show of all time is. There's so many. It's hard to even think because I love TNG, I love Deep Space Nine.
You like Doctor Who.
I love Doctor Who. But I don't know what I would put. But it is one of one of the greatest shows ever made. Like, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Like, that, to me, that can't be argued. It is one of the greatest shows.
Unless you just don't like Seinfeld.
Yeah, which is the thing. People, but they're wrong. It's pretty, not liking Seinfeld is one of those things where it's like.
I get it, though. Like,
Usually people who don't like Seinfeld, something's wrong with their humor to me.
That's also true.
I've noticed that. It's just like, this is a person who, like...
this is a guy that likes farts and all that stuff.
If someone doesn't like Seinfeld's humor, usually they get offended easily.
Yeah, that's also true.
And so, that's what they will... usually they will not like It's Always Sunny. Those people do not like It's Always Sunny, which is, you know, really offensive. Okay, so before I go into I only have a few comments, but
okay.
Here's something interesting. Someone actually compiled a list of all the jobs George had.
Okay.
And I didn't realize he had that many jobs.
All right.
So here, he has a bunch of real jobs and some fake jobs.
Okay.
So his real jobs. Assistant to the traveling secretary for the Yankees.
Okay.
Hand model. Sales at Pendant Publishing. Reading manuscripts at Pendant Publishing. Computer salesman, screenwriter / co-creator of Jerry, car mover, Sid's parking assistant, temporary bra salesman, Play Now Sports, Kruger smoothing analyst, Sanilac sales, the Penske files, Yeah, and so those are all his real jobs.
Yeah,
I didn't realize he had that many fucking jobs.
I didn't either, actually.
And someone even said, like, there's a few more minor ones that he had.
Yeah.
No, his fake job, so he's an architect.
Yes.
He's an importer-exporter. He's a latex salesman. He's a marine biologist. And he's a bootlegger! So, those are... Yeah, that's... I didn't realize that. Like, Jesus, he went through a lot of jobs. So, here's a comment, then. So, I only have, like, four.
Okay.
One of the things I've always liked about Seinfeld is that pretty much every episode is pure comedy. While most sitcoms tend to throw in some drama and some moments here and there, Seinfeld is great for when all you want to do is laugh. No love story. That's why it's so good. No drama, just comedy. No hugging, no learning. That's the essence of it. I'm not exactly a buff of pre-90s television, but I can't think of any sitcom before Seinfeld where every episode didn't end in some kind of moral lesson, point, or sentiment, etc. And what's amazing is that Seinfeld rebelled against the idea so completely. It never had lessons to impart. It never had any emotional sentiment. It was just about being hilarious. Even Susan's death was funny. Put that in another 90s show like Friends or Frasier, and it'd be a big dramatic deal.
Yeah. And that's one of those... I guess I could call Seinfeld a comfy show. It's a show you could just put on and just watch, and there's...
But it's... Here's the
Although thing. I do have to worry sometimes because there is some cringe moments that make me go like, oh no.
Here's the weird. It's comfy for us, but for a lot of people, it's upset. It's upsetting. It's like, why are people so mean to each other?
Who cares?
Well, it's like, I'm glad. Like, I'm like, I don't know. Okay, so here's another one. It's as simple as everyday life. Anyone can relate to something on the show, and no characters are hateable. Usually most shows have an annoying person nobody likes. You know what? I never thought about it till I read that comment. I cannot think of an actual character that I hate.
Yeah.
Like they're...
I used to not like Jerry's parents, but I just really like, no, they're awesome. You just,
like,
gotta...
Like, looking at every character, it's like, they may be disgusting, foul, or whatever,
yeah,
but I don't hate them. Like, there's never a time I'm like, oh god, it's Banya. Just like, oh my god, yeah. Banya's gonna talk about Round Team.
He would be that kind of person in real life, though. Like, oh,
it's gold, Jerry. Gold. Again, that's another thing. It's gold. I feel like I say that only because of Banya.
This is the meal. That's something only I say.
Okay, you know what? We have to.
Oh god damn it!
Is soup a meal? Can soup be a meal?
It can be.
No, it can't.
I think it can.
I don't think it can. It's soup. It's soup.
Okay, if we're hanging out or whatever, I said, I'll buy you dinner tonight, and you order soup, and you say that's it. But if that's what you order, then that's your meal.
No. That's a warm up. That's like soup and salad. That's, you know, a stew can be a meal. A chowder can be a meal. But like a soup? Come on.
Chowders are soups.
No. But it's a different league of soup. Like a broth with just like...
No, that's... I'm talking about like a bisque. Like stuff like that. Like,
I feel if you... The things you're offered soup or salad, that can't be a meal.
You can get a soup or salad, which is a giant salad.
I think that... But then again, I'm also not a fan of soup.
Yeah, so there you go.
And it's a hot day and I don't want to think about soup.
No, neither do I.
All right, so... As someone during Jerry's AMA... that's Ask Me Anything on Reddit, for those who don't know... wrote, which Jerry actually replied to and said it was spot on. So someone said this: it's about social faux pas and ridiculous social customs.
Yeah.
I think that is really true, and consequently, it's very relatable as we all in some way can relate to the kind of situations the characters are put in, though obviously not to such an exaggerated extent. And yeah, faux pas and ridiculous social customs,
yeah,
which Larry David seems to be the master of, because he himself is that kind of guy.
You know what? The Moyle episode with the guy doing the circumcision is one of my favorite characters. He shows up for one episode, but he's one of my favorites.
Oh my god. I love the... Is it Elaine's grandma? The pony. I had a pony.
Yes.
Yeah, I love her. I don't know why. I love that old lady.
Or was it... Yeah. I think it was... because Jerry was talking smack about the pony, right?
I had a pony. There's minor little characters that show up once, like the Ukraine guy.
Yes. Peter Stormare's character.
Yeah.
He shows up a couple times, I think.
Does he?
Like, twice.
Oh, and then, of course, there's, like, the... with the ribbon. there's so many little tiny... they show up just once. Like, Bosco. Like... no, but yeah.
George's old gym teacher.
Can't stand you. Like, the library thing. Yeah. He's basically like a detective.
Yes. That's
like,
a great...
God, this show did so good with, like, these minor characters who in any other sitcom would be, like, just a normal, like, here's a guy who says something silly. Yeah. And this is just like, oh, man. And all the girlfriends are unique and interesting, too.
Yeah.
All of Jerry's girlfriends and George's girlfriends. Putty. We didn't talk about fucking Putty.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Elaine's on and off boyfriend.
And it took the concept of dumb husband boyfriend and it completely ran with it in a way that no one ever does. Because it's like, normally they're dumb, but they're only dumb situationally. Putty was, like, dumb.
Yeah.
Like, he was actually dumb. High five.
I love the face he makes where he's kind of just like, I can't even describe it.
A nickel. That's a where nickel. I always say that for some reason. Okay, so here's the response to that, and it's the last one. I remember reading that and also thinking it was spot on. Most shows have unrealistic situations and the characters have to struggle with, but with Seinfeld, it was more normal situations that are a bit absurd and when examined are played out. Yeah, it's you look at any Seinfeld episode and it is, every episode is just a normal situation that everyone has dealt with at one point.
Yeah.
Or will deal with. Like George eating food out of the trash can. You always hear about someone that's like, why did you take that out of the trash can?
Yeah.
It was at the top. It wasn't touching it. It's like, no, but why did you, that's gross.
That is gross. I think it's gross.
But I've known people who've done that where it's like,
I'll call them out on it if I see it.
But it's like, she's on the top. And it's weird because how can you argue? You can't really. Why are we arguing that logic? Simply because it's like, but yeah, he's right. It's like, it's not touching trash.
I know, but
no, it's just
it's in the trash.
Or the whole like the hey, can you give me a ride to the like my like no, like I can't. It's like, it's not that you can't, it's that you don't want to.
Yeah,
that scene. It's like, it's so weird how it points out all these weird social things. But yeah. I would put the show.
I love this show. It's great. Obscure Gentleman Fun, head over to www.theobscuregentleman.com. And if you'd like to help support this podcast and the webcomic, please visit www.patreon.com/theobscuregentleman. We thank you for listening.